Do you need revival? The answer is yes. All of us need revival. We are, and by the way, a man asked me, children's church may be dismissed. A man asked me not long ago, he said, Pastor, what is revival? What is revival? Let me ask you a question. Do you know what would you say? What's the answer? What is revival? How would you define revival? You know what I told this man? He's a young Christian. He said this. Appreciate children's church workers, by the way. He said, I shared with him this. I said, well, let me ask you this. Have you ever seen anybody drowning in the water? How many have ever seen somebody drowned in the water? You ever seen somebody drowning? And then you see somebody rescue them and they pull them to the side of the pool or the lake or the pond, wherever they're in the water. And have you ever seen them resuscitate them? Have you ever seen them give them mouth-to-mouth resuscitation or bring them back to life? I said, that's what revival is, bringing back to life. It's actually for the people of God. It's for the Christians. It's not, revival's not for the lost. Revival's for the church. We who are blood-bought and blood-washed. How many of you are saved? Let me see your hand. You know that you're saved. There's no doubt about it. Most of you could raise your hand. A few didn't have their hands raised, but most of you could. Well, if you're a Christian, it's easy for us to kind of get, you know, preoccupied with other things. We lose our first love. We get our minds consumed with other things. But revival is about coming back to life again, spiritually coming back to life, falling in love with Jesus. When the Bible becomes boring to you, you know you need revival. When the lost, it becomes no concern for you anymore, you know you need revival. When you don't find yourself praising the Lord but complaining most of the time, you know you need revival. We all need revival, and you need it and I need it like never before. So revival is coming back to life again. Somebody says, but what a, you know, Pastor, y'all have these revival meetings all the time and these camp meetings. What good does it do? Well, let me ask you a question. What good does it do for you to take a bath every day? Hello? Or a shower? You need a bath every day, don't you? Bless God, I hope you took one today or last night. Bless the Lord. You need a shower every day. And I want to tell you something. In the spiritual realm, we need a spiritual bath every day. We need a spiritual shower every day. If you want to walk with God, and if you're convinced, if you're content with walking with the world and being a carnal Christian, God will let you do that, but you'll get in the way of God more than the will of God, and you'll be totally confused, distracted, no peace, no joy, not necessarily fulfilling God's will. And speaking of the will of God and the way of God and revival, I love the story of Billy Graham. He was going to a town, and he was there to preach a revival meeting, and he found a little boy on a bicycle. And the little boy came riding up on the bicycle. He was just starting the revival meeting that particular night. He said to the boy, he said, son, can you tell me where the post office is? The little boy said, yes, sir. Billy Graham needed to mail a letter. He said, go down the road there, see that red light, take a left right there, and then you'll see the post office shortly on the other side. And then you can go to the post office. Billy Graham looked at the little boy and said, well, son, I'm glad you told me where the post office is. He said, by the way, I'm preaching revival meeting tonight at such and such a church right down the road. He said, would you come? And I'm going to tell you how to get to heaven. The little boy looked at him and said, you don't even know how to get to the post office, let alone heaven. Tell me how to get to heaven. Well, I don't know about that, but I know this. I know, thank God, there's one heaven and it's real, and praise the Lord, Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. Revival, Lord. Reasons for revival. I want to share with you, and everybody listen, please. Everybody try to put away what you're doing. Get out your thinking cap. Get out your spiritual antennas. And I want you to take a self-evaluation. Do you need revival? How can you tell you need reviving? Every one of us probably fit in this category. There are three reasons why I believe that we all need reviving. Turn to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter number 3. In the Old Testament, Habakkuk. It might take you a minute to find it. Make sure your pages aren't stuck together. Habakkuk is the prophet of God. It's one of these minor prophets. We call them minor. There's really nothing minor about them. Anyway, there's 12 minor prophets. And we come to the book of Habakkuk. Look in the back of your Old Testament. You'll find the book of Habakkuk. And in Habakkuk chapter 3. Now, let me just give you a little background. Have you ever thought about noticing, looking around in America and wondering, what in the world is going on? Have you ever thought about that? Where in the world are we headed as a nation? Hey, listen to me. I'm thankful to God. Are you still looking for Habakkuk? Yeah, find it. It's in there. Habakkuk. It's in there. I hope it's in your Bible. It's in mine. I'll tell you what page it is in mine. Mine is page 990, if that'll help you any. But anyway, Habakkuk was looking around. He was looking at the nation, and he's saying, what in the world's going on? Have you ever thought about that in America? Have you ever looked at the news and wondered, what in the world is going on? Habakkuk was asking that question. Why? Because the heathen nation, the Chaldeans, namely the Babylonians, had come in and were chastising, were invading the southern kingdom of Judah. And Habakkuk, being a Jew, was wondering, what in the God, why are you allowing the heathen to come in? I don't understand, God, what you're up to. Have you ever said that same thing? Habakkuk looks around, but then Habakkuk looks down. He's thinking, man, I'm discouraged. All the negativity, all the pessimism, all the stuff that's going bad. Am I preaching to anybody today? You've gotten negative. You've gotten to be a cynical person. With all the negative stuff going on, it's easy to look around and wonder what's going on. It's easy to look down and wonder, God, where are you? But, wait a minute, Habakkuk looked up. And that's what you need to do today. In spite of everything going on, look up, because Habakkuk knew that our help comes from God. And if we're going to get relief, and if God is, if we're going to have a spiritual awakening, if our nation's going to be turned around, if Christians are going to live holy lives to honor the Lord, it's going to take God to do it. And God wants to do it. That's the background of the book of Habakkuk. He goes from gloom to glory. Look at Habakkuk chapter 3. Stand to your feet, please. I want to read verses 1 and 2 because my time is slipping on me. I just want to read a couple of verses. Drop some thoughts in your head. And then listen, beloved, we're going to spend some time praying at the altar today. I believe you need to pray. And I need to pray. Remember 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name. If my people. Not the world's crowd. Solomon is praying in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from the wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land. The basis of revival. If my people will humble themselves. My people, the basis of revival. The burden of revival. Pray, turn from the wicked ways. Then the blessing of revival, the basis of revival, the burden of revival, the blessings of revival. Then I'll hear from heaven. Forgive their sin. Heal the land. Can y'all sense the enemies at work today? Can you sense there's a whole lot of distractions, aren't they? Aren't you distracted? I'm telling you, anytime the devil's intimidated with us being revived, you can mark it down. There'd be a lot of distractions. And there's a lot of distractions in your mind. There's a lot of distractions going on even in the church today. I'm glad to see that. You know why? It lets me know that God's up to work. It does. If it wasn't, I'd be concerned a little bit. But I can sense there's distraction. I can sense the enemy's trying to lure us away. I can sense that the devil's trying to steal the seed away. But wait, he's a liar and he's defeated. Jesus is Lord. Amen. And we just got to say, get behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Habakkuk chapter 3. Here we are in Habakkuk chapter 3. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet of Shigonoth. That word means music. Isn't that interesting, Brother Stuart? Look at verse 2. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. My time is so short this morning, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to bypass reading other scripture and allow me for a moment just to develop this thought due to my time. Revival, the reasons for revival. The reasons for revival. Say that with me. The reasons for revival. One more time. And I want you to think about the reasons for revival. Father, we bless you for your word. We bless you for your presence. We bless you for your power. We bless you for your peace. We bless you, dear God, that you're more interested in us, in me, being where I ought to be with you than I am concerned about it. So God, somehow, some way, speak through the still small voice of your Spirit and change us. And dear Lord, I know there's areas of my life and areas of those, your people that have gathered today that need deliverance and need breakthroughs. And Father, not God, need cleansing. And Lord, we want to be right with you as your people. We want to have a heart for you. We want to praise you. We want, dear God, to make a difference while we're here on earth as salt and light. And so, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, you bind Satan's emissaries from this place that would steal us from the truth of your word, that would rob us from, dear God, getting closer to you. And, Father, really dealing with our things, idols in our life and sins in our life and bad attitudes and things, our dear Lord, that keep us from running the race and trusting you. Now, God, we thank you now. We pray that you'll help us to be honest and open with you right now, Father. And you'll get glory. You'll wash us clean. You'll deliver us from the evil one. And that, God, our Father, when all said and done, we'll thank you and praise you for the lives that will be changed and the souls that will be saved because they see a difference in me and a difference in your church. And we love you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to share with you now, first of all, there's some reasons for revival. Number one, I want you to ask the question, when can I tell I need revival? When can I tell you or I need revival? How can you tell you need revival? Number two, why do you need revival? Why do you need revival or reviving? Number three, what's going to keep you from experiencing the revival God has for you today? What's going to keep you from experiencing the revival God has for you today? Number one, when can you tell you need a revival? Isn't that a good question? Isn't that a good question? Do you agree with me? Talk to me. I said, isn't that a good question? When do I need revival? If I need revival and Pastor tell him I need revival, I need to know why. Show me I need revival, right? All right, good. I'm glad you asked that question. Number one, I know I need revival when I need a turnaround. I know I need revival. By the way, revival is preparing God's people. It's like striking a match. And brother and sister, we need like never before for some Christians to be on fire for God. Oh yeah, the devil's trying to put out fire, but thank God he's defeated. Now see, here's what happens. When you get on fire for God, you begin to light other people on fire for God. You don't know that you're lighting other people on fire for God. It just happens because God's in you. And thank God you can't put God out. You can't put God out. And others are going to see God in you. And that's what the Lord wants, is for others to see God in you. I love the story of the little boy. He's about 4 feet tall. He said to his daddy, he said, Daddy, how tall was Jesus? His daddy said, about 6 feet. The little boy said, well, Daddy, how tall am I? He said, about 4 feet. He said, Daddy, wait a minute. If Jesus was 6 feet and I'm 4 feet, and if Jesus is in me, he's going to stick out. And tell you something, if he's in you, he's going to stick out. Amen. He's going to stick out. And others are going to see Jesus. They don't need to see me. They don't need to see you. They need to see Jesus. And Jesus can make a difference in their life. May God light some fires in your heart today. And may God help you to burn for the glory of God. It just takes a spark, my friend. It just takes a spark, my brother. You say, but what can one do? I'll tell you. It just takes a little spark. Ask the Samaritan woman. A whole village was saved because she got on fire for God. May God send some fire today. But you know why I can tell I need revival? Number one, I need a turnaround. How many know what a turnaround is? A turnaround is like, man, you know, I've been going in this direction, but all of a sudden, I'm turning and going in the other direction. I've got a feeling there's some of us today, truth be known, we've been going in a direction that's really not becoming of a child of God. Maybe there's some friends we need to let go. Maybe there's some music we've been listening to. Maybe there's some computer stuff we need to lay on the altar. A dear lady last Sunday, she's not here this morning. Well, yes, she is, right over there. Lynn came to the altar last Sunday morning, and bless God, she put some cigarettes on the altar. I had a good old stomping time. Stomping them. There wasn't anything left of them cigarettes after I got rid of them. Amen. And I'm praying that God will continue to live you. Somebody said, but Pastor, will smoking send you to hell? No, but it'll make you smell like you've been there. And somebody said, Pastor, can I go to heaven if I smoke? Sure. And you might get there a lot quicker too. Somebody say amen. But look, hey, there's some things in our life. We're going in one direction and we need to turn. We need to turn. Anybody need to turn? Lord, I need to turn. We call that word repent. It's the word metanoia. The word metanoia means a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of attitude toward God, toward our sin, and toward ourselves. Is there anybody here? Trooping on, you've been negative. Trooping on, you've been kind of critical. Trooping on, you hadn't really been doing business with God. You hadn't really been getting honest with God. You've been kind of slipping a little bit. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Hey, listen, brother and sister, you can sit in church every Sunday morning and yet be backslidden. It's your heart. It's your heart. You can go through the motions. I can go through the motion, but it's our heart. God knows our heart. We can draw near to God with our lips, but our hearts be far from Him. Do you need a turn today? Do you need a turn around? God's already showed you some things in your life. You've been neglecting that sweet hour of prayer, haven't you? You hadn't been reading your Bible devotionally. I'm not being legalistic. I'm saying you got to eat every day a meal. Why not eat spiritually? Jesus said, man shall not live on bread alone, but out of every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Some of us today, truth be known, we need to turn around. We say, God, I've been so busy, and we're all busy, but the truth is, and the question is, how important is reading the Bible to you? I'm telling you, it's God's Word. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. It is a sharp two-edged sword. I need the Word of God, and you need the Word of God. The Word of God cleanses us, and the Word of God keeps us right. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Hey, look, stop excusing about not reading the Bible. Stop trying to say, well, I turn on the radio and that's my Bible reading. All right, whatever you got to do, but it's better if you get with the Lord alone. Just do it, just do it, just do it. A turnaround. We need a turnaround. Oh, yeah. And by the way, I went to Atlanta Airport the other day. Buck and I went out on celebrated his birthday on Wednesday night. We left church. Chris met us over there at the Waffle House. Man, y'all know Pastor and some of our dear brothers, we keep late hours, amen. It was 2 o'clock in the morning, wasn't it, Buck? Brother Chris left about 1:30. Alice, I can attest, Chris was at the Waffle House. And just be sure to tell Deanna that that's where I was at. Deanna's given up on me already. She knows I told her, but we had a great time. Anyway, we stayed a little bit longer and prayed, Buck and I did. And I got to thinking about it. Man, I got to be at the airport. I got to leave for the airport at 4 o'clock in the morning. Why? I'll go to sleep. And so I said, I got home about 2 o'clock, 2:15 on Wednesday night, and I said, no need for me to go to sleep. How many know you feel worse when you try to sleep an hour and get up? So I just stayed on up, left for the Atlanta airport. How many been to the airport lately? Hello, you want to get in the flesh real quick? Go to the airport, all right? Just don't go to I-85, Jackie, right? Amen. But anyway, so we're heading to the airport, and it's dark, it's cloudy, it's foggy on Thursday morning, and we get to the airport, and all of a sudden, guess what Pastor did? I'm driving, and all of a sudden, guess what? I ran past the road I was supposed to turn on. How many have ever done that before? Yeah, especially in Atlanta, over there in that busy airport, and I missed the turn. Well, what do you do when you miss a turn? Man, I just made a U-turn right there in the road. I live in Georgia, bless God, and they won't pull me. I'm not saying they won't pull me over in Georgia, but hey, at least they won't pull me over as much as they do in Florida. Somebody say amen. Well, speaking of that, I want to tell you something. I don't have it with me, but I do have it with me. Speaking of that, I want to tell you what happened to me. It was this week, on Thursday of this week, I got a letter in the mail. I got home from the airport, just had a blessed time. Speaking of turnaround, I got home, and you know what? There in the mail, I got the mail, and I looked on it, and guess what it was from? The state of Florida. Guess what happened this time? I said, bless God, what have I done now? They're out to get me in Florida. Somebody say amen. I'm convinced of it. You know what happened? Have you ever been down there to the toll, you know, the turnpike down in Florida? We're going down to preach my dear pastor friend's funeral memorial service, and we turn on the turnpike. It's late at night, you know, and anyway, we get there to the turnpike, and how many have been down there lately? You better get your pocketbook out because you got a toll booth you pay for your toll about every mile, it seems. And so we stop and it's $3.50 here, $4 here. You drive about a mile and then it's another toll booth. Well, we drove up to one toll booth. Nobody was working the toll booth. I just rode right through. Nobody was working there. The next toll booth I came to, guess what? I said, nobody's working it like the other one. Guess what? I got a notice in the mail said, you owe $3.75. You ran through a toll. They had my license plate. I couldn't turn around in the road. Oh, bless the Lord. I needed a turnaround. I'm talking about a turnaround. Hey, look, revival is about a turnaround. You know how I know I need revival? Because I don't pay my tolls, right? No, that's not it. I need revival because I need a turnaround. Next, you know how I know I need revival? See if this is you. Tell me if this is you. Is your mind filled with junk? Man, I tell you, I don't know about y'all. Y'all look at me and be real for a moment. Have you ever noticed a time when we're so filled up with junk? Junk. Emails, Facebook, news. Our minds are overloaded with junk. Somebody help me out there. It's overloaded with junk. That's what revival's all about. No wonder Paul said, be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word transformed means change. It's the word metamorphose. It's like a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. Some of us today, I love you. I'm so thankful to God. I had the privilege of praying for you early this morning. About 5 o'clock, got up and I said, dear God, thank you for those that are going to be here in church today. I bless you, Lord. Please bless hearts. Please, God, speak to hearts. Please, Lord, be magnified. But the truth be known, some of us right now, it's hard for us to receive the engrafted word of God. Our minds are cluttered. Our minds are cloudy. Our minds are closed. Instead of our minds being committed. And to today, some of us need to come and say, dear God, I have been consumed with everything else. My mind has been overloaded. I know I need revival when I've got a lot of clutter on my mind. How many have been battling with a lot of stuff on your mind lately? Man, if it's not one thing, it's 10 other things. Talk to me now. It's bills, it's children, it's grandchildren. I mean, it's jobs, it's this or that, it's health, it's do this around the house. Somebody talk to me. You know what I'm talking about. We're overloaded. That's why we need revival. It brings us back to saying, God, all this junk I'm overloaded with, why am I consumed about it? Why am I worried about it? How many are worried about stuff today? Yeah, that's why we need revival. Worried about this, worried about that. Somebody said we spend more time worrying about things than revival, Lord. It'll clear my mind out. Sometimes we got to put a guard on our mind. Solomon said in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. No wonder Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, guard your heart with all diligence. Out of it flows the issues of life. No wonder Paul wrote in that Philippian letter while he was in jail, I might add, finally, brethren, what sort of things are true and honest and just and lovely, and if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Truth is, the reason we're not revived today, and I'm preaching to myself right now, I get overloaded with a bunch of stuff. I do. Man, I'm just being honest with you. I get overloaded and I get to thinking about this and that and going here and planning this and trying to do that. And that's why I need revival. God, I need to get back to the main thing is to keep the main thing. Loving Jesus, serving the Lord, being right with God. We need revival. Number three, you know how I know I need revival? You ready for this? How many are married? Raise your hand. You better raise your hand if you're married. All right. If you don't, you'd be in trouble, man. I'm going to try to get you out of the doghouse here. If I ask you this question, how would you rank your marriage? 0 to 10. 0 to 10. How would you rank your marriage? You know what most men tell me? I'll just tell you what most men tell me. After counseling numerous couples, hundreds, here's what most men will say. I rank my marriage 7. I asked the woman, the wife, how would you rank your marriage? 3. What? 3? What's the deal? Communication breakdown. I know I need revival when, watch this, our marriages are barely hanging in there like a loose tooth. Have you ever seen a loose tooth? It's about ready to come out. I mean, it's about to fall out. Anything can happen and that tooth will fall out. I know we need revival when our marriages are barely hanging in there. Oh, we're busy, right? Yeah. Communication breakdown. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Listening and all that. Oh, yeah. Conflict resolution. Yeah, yeah. Finances, bills. Oh, yeah, yeah. Stress. I know I need revival when our marriages are barely hanging in there. Now, y'all can act like everything's okay if you want to, but I'll be honest with you. In my personal opinion, it takes W-O-R-K work for any marriage. And people to say they got the perfect marriage, don't believe them. They'll lie about anything. Now, I've got the perfect wife. Somebody say amen. But anyway, so two ladies were talking. One said to the other, said, do you ever wake up grouchy? One lady said to the other lady, no, I let him sleep as long as he wants to. Yeah, help me, Lord. Did you hear about two men were talking, and one man said to the other man, said, hey, man, I got a poodle for my wife, a little dog, a poodle. Other man said, man, I wish I could get a trade like that. God help us. Marriages hanging in there. One man was sitting there watching television, and his wife came in the room. She said, honey, what's on television? He said, a lot of dust. How many know he was in trouble? Get the lemon pledge, big boy, and wipe it off. One man said, man, he holds his wife's hand all the time. He said, well, I see you holding your wife's hand all the time. Why? He said, if I let her hand go, she'll go shopping. That's about the size of it. Marriage, brother, marriage. Hey, I know I need revival. Are there any marriages today that say, man, bless God, I know we need to come together. We need to pray together. I mean, it's like, how you doing? Fine. I'll see you later. Don't forget to pick up the milk, all right? Or don't forget to lock the door. And that's about the extent of our marriages today. Marriages need revival. Our homes need revival. Oh, yes. That's why God said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. He gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it with the washing of water by the word. A man wants to be respected. A woman wants to be loved. No wonder Paul wrote that. I know I need revival when? When I need a turnaround. When my mind's filled with junk. I know I need revival when our marriages are barely hanging on. And some of us need to get with God today. We need to get to God and pray together. Hey, look, let me say this about a marriage before I go to our children. The enemy knows. Are y'all listening? If you are, say amen. Everybody didn't say amen. If you're listening, say amen. The enemy knows. Listen. Please listen. The enemy knows if he can get the marriage divided, if he can get a wedge between you and your spouse, he's got you right where he wants you. He can get you arguing, get you fussing, get you fighting, get you off the same page. He's got a foothold and a stronghold in your marriage. We've got to realize, look, we're not fighting each other. We're fighting the devil. That's what revival's about. Hey, how many need to confess some stuff today in your marriage? You've been saying some things. You know that old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but what? But what? Words will never what? That's a lie. I said it's a lie. Words do hurt us. Talk to me. Don't look at me like you're, pious. Come on. Words hurt us. You know what I'm talking about. Words hurt us. And especially for a woman, us men folk, sometimes we can take it, rolls right off. A woman, One man said, his wife said, why are you so historical? She said, you mean hysterical? He said, no, historical. You're always digging up stuff in the past, all right? You never forget. But some of our marriages, now y'all can look around act like you got the perfect marriage. I know you don't, all right? Your pastor knows you don't, all right? And God knows you don't. And God knows we need a breakthrough in our marriages. And the church said, hey, look. The church will never be any stronger than your marriage. You got a marriage on the rocks? Men, build it on the rock. Amen. The storms are going to come. Hey, I know I need revival. Next, not only that, but what about this? How many know you need revival when we need to be what? Praying for our children. How many believe we need to be praying for our children? Listen, brother, your children go to a war zone. Your children get up and go to school, and they go out in the community, they go out in this whole world. They are in a war zone. And the parents said, if we don't pray for them, who is? If you're not interceding for them, crying out to God, who is? Our children are being bombarded all the time. Mamas and daddies, we need to lift them up and pray and ask God to bless them. Oh yes, God, please protect our children. Look at this. Pray that your children get on their knees before God often. How many times do you see your children get on their knees before God? It's been a while, hasn't it? Why don't you get on your knees today, Mama? Why don't you get on your knees today, Daddy, and cry out to God for God to work His grace in our children, that God will do a work in our family? That's what revival's all about. Every parent here knows, every grandparent here knows that you need to be on your face before God praying for your grandchildren today. And the church said, every one of us, you may not have children, biological children, you may have spiritual children, but God knows that's what revival's all about. Redigging those stopped up wells. And the Lord led me to get this caption right here. What does this mean? What do these stones mean? I love the book of Joshua. Let me tell you real quick, and then we'll move on. In the book of Joshua chapter 4, remember Joshua? Joshua, Moses is dead. Rise up and go over this Jordan. Joshua goes over the Jordan River with the Ark of the Covenant, with the Israelites over the Jordan River, dry ground, I might add, a supernatural miracle. And then God said to Joshua, get 12 stones. Why 12 stones? 12 tribes of Israel, hello. Get 12 stones and do what with them? Set them up. Why will we set them up on the other side of the Jordan River? I'll tell you why you set them up on the other side of the Jordan River. God said that when your children and grandchildren see those rocks that are set up, you can go back and say, this is what God did. What means these rocks? And you can tell your children and grandchildren what the Lord has done. Can I tell you this? If there's one thing our children need to hear and need to see what God has done in your life, what God has done in my life, we ought to be setting up some stones right now for our children and grandchildren and saying, telling them that God's been good to me and it pays to serve God. Woo! It pays to serve God. Have you got some stones? Are you building some stones and say, this is what God, He raised me off my bed of affliction. They said I was sick and it didn't look like I was going to make it through. Now this is what God did when I needed some resources and money and God brought it in. My God's a great God. He's a mighty God. There's no God like my God. That's what we need to be telling our children. And our grandchildren, handing down a lasting legacy. Thank God my God's not dead. He's alive. Yes, He is. Are you building? Are you putting up some stones for your children and grandchildren? I know I need revival. Not only for my children, my marriage. I know I need revival. The winds of revival. Because often my spiritual vision gets dim. I get, watch this, all of you that have had cataract surgery lately, I get spiritual cataracts on my eyes. And you know what? Habakkuk, write the vision, make it plain that they that read it may run with it. Though it tarry, it will surely come to pass. You see, Habakkuk was discouraged in chapter 1. But then God said, stand on your tower. Habakkuk was to stand on the tower. Wait for God. Wait for a word from God. I'll tell you, when God speaks to you, brother, you can take it to the bank. What you need today is God to speak to you. Habakkuk stood on his tower. He heard a word from God. You know what God showed me this morning? Can I confess something? Y'all listening back to back? You know what God showed me this morning? I was praying about this revival, praying about the camp meeting. And you know what God showed me? Son, you just got to have faith in me. I said, whoo! I needed that word from God. I need it. And you do too. How many just need to trust in God? Isn't that a good word today? God just spoke my heart and said, son, you got to have faith in me. I'm thinking about this and thinking about that and thinking about this and that and the other. And the Lord said, you just got to have faith in me. I said, God, I'm sorry. I know I knew that all along, but I just need to hear that once again. Spiritual vision. What's your spiritual vision? How many of you, who in the world, what is going on here? Who is this right here? I recognize that face. Do y'all recognize that face? It looks like somebody I know. Anybody know this face right here? I know I need revival when I am mad at somebody. Mad at the world. Some people come to church, look like they've been weaned on a pickle. They're mad. Really? You got your old lip poked out? You ever poked your lip out? Some of us go around pouting. I know I need revival when I get angry. Is there anybody here angry at somebody? You get mad. How many are angry at yourself? Mad at you? I can't believe I did that. Well, believe it. That's all you are outside of Jesus. Believe it, all right? Get over it. Mad at yourself. Mad at somebody. Mad at the world. Mad at your job. Mad at the folks on your job. Mad at your spouse. Mad at your children. Mad at the preacher. Oh, God, help us there. Mad at everybody. I know I need revival when I get angry and mad. Upset. Oh, I'm offended. I'm not going to church tonight. Bless God, the preacher, he said something about me and it offended me. Get over it. All right? I love you. You know I love you. But every once in a while, I need somebody to tell me the truth because the truth will set you free. I need a challenge. Well, what do we need today? I'll tell you what we need. We need revival. There's no doubt about it. We need a Holy Ghost, heaven-sent revival. And that's why we need revival, because those things I just mentioned, because one, I need a turnaround. When do I need revival? When I need a turnaround. There's something that God's out to change in my life. I need revival when my mind's consumed with junk, jammed with junk. Jammed, it might not be bad stuff, it just might be stuff. My mind's jammed with junk. I know I need revival when our marriages are just barely hanging in there. I know we need revival when we need to be praying, interceding for our children and grandchildren. I know I need revival when my spiritual vision becomes dim. I got spiritual cataracts on my eyes. Oh, yes, I need vision. I know I need revival when I get angry and mad, this and that. You know what happened? Listen to me. I'm closing now. What'll happen if you and I don't get really right with the Lord? You know what's going to happen? Your heart is going to be about hard as that right there. You hear the Word of God, but you don't obey the Word of God, and your heart will get harder and harder. Can you hear me? It'll get like a rock. We ought to be doing the Word of God, not just hearing the Word of God. And we so often come to church like we want to test or sip or taste a sermon. Well, I like that sermon. It's not about whether you like it or not. It's about doing what God's telling you to do. And if we don't experience a turnaround, and if we just keep on doing what we're doing, listening to God's Word and not obeying the Word of God and obeying the Lordship of Jesus Christ, our heart will get harder and harder and harder. And you know what's going to happen? We won't hear that alarm anymore. Woo! 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 Right now, God's saying, woo! He's done hit that nerve. The Holy Ghost of God has put His finger on something in your life and the alarm's going off. Woo! 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 You know what happens when you just say, I'm going to turn the alarm off. You keep pushing the button, turning the alarm off. And God's kind of get your attention. And you know what's going to happen? Pretty soon, you're not even going to hear the alarm. That's the danger of not doing what God's calling you to do. Your heart will get hard. Oh, you'll go through the motions. You'll be religious, but like the Pharisees. Who wants to be like the Pharisees? Religious, critical, judgmental. You know, playing the games. No, it's about my heart, God. I don't want to get a hard heart. Lord, I don't want to be... And you know what else is going to happen? Our happiness will turn into unhappiness. If we don't get really revived, we'll go through this life unhappy. Look at me. What's it going to take to make you happy? What is it going to make you happy? Well, if I get $1 million, well, if I... Stop looking at all these things that aren't going to satisfy you. That's temporary fulfillment. Happiness comes in knowing Jesus. Happiness is having your sins forgiven. Happiness is being in the will of God. That's where you're going to find real joy. And some of us today need that. Our heaven's turned into a hell on earth. You don't have to be hell on earth. You can thank God, have a little heaven here on earth. Question, do you need revival? I think we all do. I do. God, bring me to my first love. God, bring me back to love you more than anything else. And God, help me to break free from idols. Give me grace to make a turn in my life, to turn from some of those things that are keeping me from being the man of God, the pastor, the husband. We need revival, Lord. I wonder if you stand to your feet today.